Jack Armstrong, once again, our NBA and NCAA analyst. Jack, how are you?
Jason, I'm doing good. Just so you know, I'm pulling into TSN right now, so sometimes I can't get through security. So if I have to talk my way through it for a second, my car doesn't work all the time. So I'm at the gate, so if there's any issue, I might have to talk to the security guard here on live radio. So.
Well, Jack, that's I can't believe that they just don't know who you are, and it's just like you have one of those just free pass lanes, like the VIP lane.
I have a pass, but for some reason of late, it hasn't been working well. So now I got to go through the lane where you got to use your pass, and the guy at the booth looks at you, and if I'm not a hockey guy, he doesn't know who I am. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm pulling up right now, so I'll talk until I get through here.
Well, Jack, there was a lot of people who thought that Stanford wouldn't get through to this point. Baylor maybe wouldn't get through to this point. And we've got a lot of Canadians. Talk about Dayton and Stanford, first of all, and what you like about those teams.
Well, hey, by the way, I just got through security, so
all
it's
right.
All good. The
nice.
Guy's a basketball fan. He knew who I was. all right, we got him fooled. Stanford and Dayton. Well, you know, first of all, I think when you look at the situation with those two teams, the great thing is we have three Canadian players playing in it. So to me, that's an exciting thing right now, the fact that, there's some players that everyone knows and respects and excited about playing. So that really makes it that much more, a thrill for folks that no matter what happens in that game, somebody's going to advance, which I think is a really cool thing. So, I think that game to me is kind of a pick 'em. Dayton was remarkable, in terms of their performance in Buffalo, knocking off Ohio State and Syracuse. Archie Miller's done a great job. They share the ball. They're tough. They play as a team. They're one of those clubs right now that you look at and you're amazed at just how hard they play and how together they are. And on the other side, Stanford, what an amazing win over Kansas. You know, I think they really were a team that their size up front, you know, the two Canadians, particularly Powell, mm-hmm. A high-energy guy, can play above the rim. That was a great win for them. Mix it in their zones. So that would be an interesting contrast tonight. Dayton's quickness versus Stanford's size and Stanford's ability to play zone. But the good thing, you look at Dayton, they did a great job against Syracuse's zone last week. So I think they'll be able to handle the multiple looks that Stanford throws at them.
Jack, you know, there was so much focus on Ennis and Wiggins, and rightfully so. They're great players. But Dwight Powell's, 6'10", big athletic guy. A lot of people saying he should be a second-round draft pick.
He's playing his way into it, that's for sure. The more he stays on that stage and plays well, the better his chances are of some team being intrigued with him. I mean, the guy goes to Stanford, so he's disciplined. You know he's smart. And he comes from a great program, so that's a benefit, no doubt about it. When I look at the situation there, for me personally, he's really helped himself. He's impressed me significantly with just his toughness and his energy, and I think that he's playing himself into that.
Then, of course, you've got the Baylor Bears led by two Canadians, Brady Heslip and Kenny Cherry, both in the backcourt for the Bears, and who, by the way, have the best jerseys in the tournament, bar none. You look at Baylor. Tell me about the matchup. Is this a good matchup in your mind for Baylor, or is this a tough matchup?
Well, I think when you look at this game, it's a game that they can definitely win. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Their guard play is exceptional. As you mentioned, the two Canadians, they combined for 9 threes the other day. And they're playing with a lot, they're playing great right now. They're peaking at the right time. A lot of times it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And I think that they pose quite a challenge tonight. And, there's no question in my mind that they can win a game like this. Now, you look at a team like Wisconsin, what a great comeback they had against, Oregon the other day, and they have good balance in their offense. They can really score, unlike a lot of other Wisconsin teams that rely strictly on defense. You know, you look at Jackson, who's a great young player, and so many of their big people can shoot the ball from outside, and they stretch out with their dribble penetration. So I think this is one of those games that, in my mind, is a pick'em.
Jack Armstrong, NBA and NCAA analyst, joins us. Jack, you know, the Canadians that are left, and maybe they were overshadowed a little bit by Wiggins earlier on, but they're not anymore. You know, you talk about, you know, we've got Ohio State represented, we've got Michigan represented. Which Canadian do you think of these guys remaining all collectively has the best chance to be an NBA player?
Right now, probably Stauskas.
Okay.
With Michigan, because you know, I would say talking NBA scouts, they have him projected, you know, middle first round, late first round. And so far in the tournament, he hasn't hurt his draft stock one bit. He's a great shooter. He's gotten better at creating off the bounce. He's getting stronger. He knows how to play. He's been really well coached in college. So to me, I think he's probably, you know, and then Egypt from Iowa State, you know, is a guy in my mind that, excuse me, could potentially be an early to mid second round pick. So those would be the two guys, other than probably Tyler Ennis, who declared today, and Wiggins, who I'm sure we'll hear from pretty soon in terms of their draft stock.
You looked at, and speaking of Ennis, I wanted to ask your thoughts, because I was curious if he was going to say, you know what, maybe I need another year of seasoning. I understand why the players don't do it, Jack, just because of the money potential, right? And who knows if you get injured in your final year as a senior and then you're bypassing all that signing bonus and everything. So I understand it. But when you look at a player like Ennis, and he'll come into the NBA next year, and we're seeing it with Bennett, it's such a big jump that, well, he'll get the money and everything, that do you think he would be better off long-term if health wasn't an issue and he could guarantee to stay healthy? Do you think he would be better served to have another year of college ball?
Yes, definitely. But that ain't going to happen, you know. So here's where he's going to be best served now. I hope and pray for his sake he gets on the right team with the right coach. You know, a coach that runs a disciplined style, teammates that aren't knuckleheads, guys that know how to play the game, because he's a thinking man's game player. He's a guy, he's a steady Eddie type. He knows how to run a team. He gets you in your offenses. He's got great change of pace in his game. But he's not coming in as your savior. He's not a savior. But he's a really good player. So, you know, the thing for me is, a lot's going to depend at the pro level of the kind of team that he gets drafted with. So I just hope for his sake he gets with the right group. Because if you get with the wrong group and you develop losing habits and you're not being developed properly, because he needs to develop in a lot of different ways, then it can derail your career and you don't reach your potential.
Jack Armstrong joins us. Jack, Wiggins only had 6 shot attempts from the floor in their second game loss. Now, is that on Andrew Wiggins for not being the guy to say, okay, I got to be more assertive, or is that on coaching? What would you say?
I would say I would probably put it 65% on Wiggins and 35% on a coach. You know, there's no doubt at some point in time the player's got to figure it out. And I don't care if you're a freshman or a senior. If you're a ball player, you say to yourself, man, I'm Andrew Wiggins. I'm the best guy that Kansas has, and I'm only taking 6 shots. You know, so now you start getting in your teammates' grills and saying, yo, man, give me the rock. And you got to say, well, if it ain't working from the perimeter, then I got to get in the post. I got to get in the middle of the floor. I got to look to take my guy off the bounce. I got to be more assertive. And quite frankly, he didn't do that. Now, on the other side, I think the coach, Bill Self, could have easily done a better job in terms of deployment against the zone and put him in the middle of the zone and put him in better positions to be successful. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I think, to me, that that is the thing that has to be worked out more than anything else is that.
I thought people were maybe overrating Wiggins. You know, no comparison to Michael Jordan or LeBron James or anything. It's just unfair because those guys are such freak of natures. But when you look at Wiggins, Jack, and I don't know if this – it's rare to criticize a guy for this, but it's almost at times like in that sport, he's too much of a team player. Is that a fair criticism?
Yeah, I think that would be the case. But I also think he's passive at times.
Yeah.
I think he the motor's not always running at full tilt. And I think that's a bad habit that he has. That he has to correct. He's got to be more of a gamer, a hard-nosed, competitive guy that's looking to really, you know, be that much more assertive. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think he has to own some of that, and the responsibility of some of that is on him. So there's no doubt in my mind that he could end up being a terrific pro, but it's going to be a process. I don't think he's going to come in. I don't think you can parachute him in, throw him out of a plane and parachute him into Salt Lake City and make the Utah Jazz next year a 50-win team. I don't see that happening. I don't think he's going to parachute into Milwaukee and make them a 50-win team overnight. He's not that good yet. Now, he's going to be really good, but it's a process, and I think people need to be realistic and patient with that.
Jack, out of all the teams left now, who do you feel – who's the best to have a long run as an upset? Like, not a number one seed. Which team do you like the most as far as to continue a Cinderella run?
Wow. I think – you know, I look at the matchup between Stanford and Dayton. You know, one of those teams I think can really give the next – whoever wins, I still think they can give their next opponent an incredibly difficult game. So – I think one of those guys, I just like their teams. They're very sound and fundamentally in place, and they're very well coached. So those are two teams to me tonight in particular that jump out as me as obviously one of them is going to win and be the Elite Eight, but they'll be a tough out in that next game as well.
Jack, glad to hear you got through security. No problem. We'll be watching.
Well, I hope I get out too.
Jack, we'll talk to you again soon. Jack Armstrong.
My pleasure.